past number of weeks, and I know there's been some breaks in me being up here from conference and being out a Sunday and things of that nature, the topics or the thought that I've had for those weeks has been what I call good questions. And it's good questions, or my determination, that are in your Bible. We've covered a number of them. I won't go back and review those things. It's too timely. But I think there's another good question in the Bible that I'd like to use as a format to preach my message on. And what we're going to do when we go to it is we're going to go right to the chapter and to the verse, and we're going to read the question. Now, we're not going to grab the context at this time. We'll come back to it to grab the context. But I just want to go to it to get the question, because that is the question, the good question of the day that we're going to use out of Genesis chapter 18. So turn there with me. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis 18, like I said, we're just going to grab one part of a verse here. I'll read the whole verse, but at the same time, we're going to leave this context, go to something else, then come back to Genesis 18. In Genesis 18, look with me in verse 14. It says in Genesis 18, 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question. That's a good question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So that's the thought of the good question this Sunday. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, obviously, where we're reading has to do with Abraham and Sarah and their life and so on and so on. But we're going to take a look at this and come back to Genesis 18. What I want you to do now is turn to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, look in verse 1. In Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he, that's God, brought him, Abraham, or Abram at the time, forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So here we have a situation where Abram is up in age, and Sarah is up in age, and God promises a child to be born of them. And Abram says, well, the only one I got here as far as my inheritance and being my heir is this servant son that was born in my house. I guess that's him. And God said, no, that's not him. That's not him. The one that's going to come forth will come from you, not somebody else. He said, come out here, Abram. Look at these stars. Can you tell the number? Well, obviously not. I mean, the sky's full of them. He said, that's how your seed's going to be. And the Bible says that Abram believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. Abram believed God. God made a promise to Abram, and he believed it. Now, folks, are there promises made today for us? Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll come back to Genesis, but turn over, way over, to Titus. God made a promise to Abram about having a seed, and the seed was going to multiply like the stars of heaven. Are there promises made to us today? Absolutely. Look in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in verse 2, is very powerful. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Do you realize that before God made the promise to Abraham back there in Genesis chapter 15, do you realize that God, who made promises to Adam, God made a promise before the foundation of the world concerning us? Think about it. Before any star was hung up in the sky, put in the sockets, as the Bible says, or the earth was created, God made a promise to give you and I eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, when He makes a promise, He's going to keep it. And Abram knew this. Abram knew that God made a promise to him and is going to uphold God at His word. Why don't we uphold God at His word? Why doesn't man do that? God said, I promise you life through Jesus Christ. Can He lie? He cannot lie. And Abram knew this. So Abram believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness. You know, it's interesting to note, we read a few weeks back on this thing about good questions. We read out of Numbers where the prophet prophesied and he said to the extent of this, hath he, God, spoken and shall he not make it good? I mean, God is not man that he should lie, the son of man that he should repent. David said, I came out of my mother's womb, what, lying? Man is a liar, always has been. God's promises are true and he's going to keep what he promised. And Abram knew this. Abram knew this. So Abram in his mind knew that a child would be born through his loins. Now, let's go back to Genesis. But look back in Genesis chapter 18. Look in Genesis chapter 18. And there's really, I mean, the story with Abram and Abraham. I'll just call him Abraham because his name was changed and that's who he became. The story with Abraham and Sarah is a very interesting thing. And you ought to go back and really read and put a more time in it than I can put in it on this Sunday. So in Genesis 18, look in verse 1. Kind of get a storyline going here. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. It's interesting to note that there were three men. Now, I'm not going to say that I take a stand on this as far as doctrinal issue and want anybody to argue with about this. But isn't it interesting to note about the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost? There were three men here, and one of them was the Lord. Probably has to do with the Godhead. And Abraham recognized this, and in recognition runs out there, and what does he say in verse 3? My Lord, the one that promised this back to me in Genesis 15 about my seed, he's there now. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Pass not away. Can you sense what Abraham is saying here? He wants to have this fellowship with the Lord. He wants to have more than just, look folks, this word is lifted up higher than the Lord's name. It is edified. It is holy. It is without error. But don't you as a child of God want to have the Lord embrace you? Don't you want something tangible? Don't you want to see Him, touch Him, talk to Him, hold Him, Him hold you? That's what Abraham wanted. Pass not away. I need you. I want you. And I think we go through times in our lives where there's a great void there. We always know by God's word that He's there. He sealed us unto the day of redemption. He's always dwelling in our hearts by faith in Christ. We know that. But don't you long for more than that? To be absent from the body and be present with the Lord? Don't you want the presence? Don't you want to be with Him? That's what Abraham is saying here. Verse 3. Now we go down to verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. He's looking out for the Lord there, and the comfort for the Lord. Not himself. Not himself. He says in verse 5, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. In other words, go ahead and fix it, Abraham. Now watch this. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man. And he hasted to dress it. Folks, did y'all notice anything that ran in common out of those two verses? The hasting. Let's look at it. I'm not going to reread them. Verse 6, hastened. That's hurry. That's get up and go. Quickly, the 3 measures. Verse 7, and Abraham ran into the herd. And the young man hasted to dress it. It's all about urgency. It's recognizing that the Lord's there and there's something to be done, and it's about urgency. It's about getting on with the program. You know, Paul addresses whole Genesis 18 and look over in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look what Paul writes here to these Corinthians. He says in verse 23, 9:23, 1 Corinthians, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. An incorruptible what? Crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it, the body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Isn't it amazing what Paul is talking about there, about a race? And he says, so run, run. Abraham ran into the herd to fetch a calf. Sarah, make quickly 3 measures of fine meal. He hastened to dress. There's an urgency there, folks. There's an urgency. And there's an urgency today for the Lord's sake. We have something laid upon us that we should feel the urgency in our lives about. But we get very complacent. We get very complacent. Too many of us have the mindset of, I'm saved by grace. There's nothing I did to get it. There's nothing I have to do to keep it. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. That is great that doctrinally you are positioned there. But what we do after that is get in our recliner of faith, kick back, and just lay there. Where is the urgency? Where is the run? Where is the hasten? Recognizing that this world is lost, folks. The solution won't come from government. The solution won't come from help organizations out there. The only solution for this world is the salvation that God promised through Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, He cannot lie. Anybody say amen? Give me some air up here. Blow some air. Amen. Thank you. There's a hurriedness to it. The feel of urgency. If you're complacent about it, something's wrong. Something's wrong. There are people we run across all the time that are lost. And the last thing it seems like we'll ever do is present the gospel to them when it's the first thing that they need. The first thing that they need. I mean, we get to a point, yeah, we're saved, and it's kind of like, well, we've been brought out the fire. And it's kind of like, hey, I'm safe and secure. But that's not the mentality. That's not the mentality we should possess. Should be an urgency. Should be something we run. Paul said, so run. Hasten. There's a race to be run. Recognize it. I understand vacation. You mentioned Barbara. People, trust me, I understand vacation. But there's a lot of our lives that exist outside of vacation, exist outside of downtime. Run. Abraham hastened and did this for the Lord's sake. Go back there to Genesis. We can continue on here. Verse 8. And he, Abram, He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. And I imagine Abraham had just a glow about him. I mean, you have done something for somebody when you know they were in absolute dire straits and you did it for them. And you didn't do it for recognition, but you did it for them in behalf of the Lord's sake. And you felt good about it. You felt good about it because you know you did something in their behalf for them. I imagine Abraham felt that way right here, watching these men eat of what they prepared for him. In verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now the new translations, ladies, I'm going to read it to you in verse 9. Here's how it goes. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the kitchen. And that's why I don't use the new translation. Okay? That's why we stick to the King James Bible. In the tent. So, you can conclude where she was there. But anyhow, verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind them. Now, you remember Genesis 15, Abram, that child's coming from your loins. It's not that servant you got in the house, Eliezer of Damascus. It's coming from your loins. The second part of the promise is found in verse 10. Middle of the verse. Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. So then it's going to be Sarah and Abraham having the child. And so she was at the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, meaning there's no possible physical way she could have a child. Basically, that's what it's saying. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah, verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And she said, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Why do you think she was afraid? She is afraid because her laugh was within herself. I mean, you guys got thoughts right now, and if I could sit up here and tell you your thoughts, it'd freak you out too. I mean, right now, one's coming to me. Where am I going to eat after church? Who's going to win the NBA title? She laughed within herself, and there was no facial contact. You know, the face can reveal a lot. Cain's countenance fell. The Lord saw the countenance of Cain. Folks, Sarah was in that tent and laughed within herself, and God called her on it. And I can see Abraham going, oh, well, you know, that's those silly women. They just always, you know, don't take them serious, you know, blah, blah, blah. But she is afraid, and she denied. And the Lord said, but you did. So you got a situation where Abraham believed in the Lord and counted to him for righteousness. Boom. Genesis 15. You got a situation. The same promises continued in Genesis 18, except Sarah laughed. You know what that tells me? I could get on the women and lack of faith, and that's not what this is about. But it tells me that God can deal with people, even being laughed at. You know, we're touchy-feely. Something get on us and someone laugh at us. Boy, I tell you, it gets me so angry. God can take it. He's taken it from man for 6,000 years, people. He can take it. They laughed. You know what made the difference in all of this? It's found in Romans chapter 4. Turn there. Look in Romans chapter 4. We'll start in verse 18. And this is Paul writing about Abraham. That's who the he will be in the context here, is Abraham. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he, as Abraham, might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What God had promised, he was able also to perform. God will carry it out. He was strong in faith. Sarah wasn't. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed in the Lord. He counted it for righteousness, and Abraham knew that the child would come from him through Sarah. He didn't even look, and look at this, how this is written. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even consider it. I mean, we're talking about an absolute physical impossibility for her to conceive and have a child. And he never even considered that. He didn't go to the medical journal, Google it, and find out, well, deadness of the womb, how can anybody be born? No. He believed that God made the promise here and that he was able to perform it. Why? Because God makes a promise and he cannot lie. He will carry it out. Hath he not spoken it, and will he not make it good? God will carry it out. So Abraham believed that. And the age is unbelievable. 100 years old at 90 when Isaac is born? Impressive. So what's the promise today? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. God made that promise. Anybody can have eternal life. What's the catch? Well, there's really no catch. It's just you believing in the Lord, as Abraham did, that Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. That is what God has laid out for us to believe. Do you believe in that? If so, God made a promise to give you eternal life, and he cannot lie. You know, the interesting thing about this is there was, you know, your Bible, not in the Word of God in your Bible, but whoever wrote, whether it's Scofield or whatever Bible you have, they make notes in there. And one of the things is called a lapse of faith concerning Abraham. And you go back there and it's an account of where Sarah persuaded Abraham to go to Hagar, the servant, the maid, the concubine, to bring forth the promise. Abraham, if we're going to have this child that your God promised, you're going to have to go to Hagar. Look at me. I'm old, well stricken in age. I can't do this. So go to Hagar. And Abraham went about fulfilling the promise through Hagar. In other words, it was like a lapse of faith. It was a fleshly act. You see the end result of that, huh? Isaac and Ishmael, they won't admit it, but they just stepbrothers. They need to embrace and sing Kumbaya rather than shoot Katusha rockets at one another. They're stepbrothers. They've been fighting ever since, and they will till the Lord settles this issue. So God makes a promise today, eternal life through Jesus Christ. But you know what the world does? It laughs at the promise of God. How do they do that? Like this. That's salvation by grace through faith without works. It can't be that easy. God's big enough to take it because he knows there's somebody out there that needs to trust in the Lord, as there may be this morning. You've played a Christian. You've acted a Christian. You've talked a Christian. You sang like a Christian. Maybe not this morning, but you've done all the... I mean, I was up here, Mike. I felt the... But you've done all of that. Yet you've never trusted in the Lord. And you know it in your heart. You recognize Christ went to the cross. You're no dummy. A lot of things tell you about Christ going to the cross. History, Easter, resurrection. You know about that. But did you ever trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you? Or have you gone about trying to bring forth the promise of life, eternal life, by your own effort, like Abraham did with Hagar? That's what we have today. People trying to take the promise of eternal life and bringing it forth through their own fleshly effort. You can't do it. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God, Romans chapter 8. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. So how do you please God? Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be thrilled to death over that. Have you done that? God made a promise of eternal life. Who cannot lie? Put your trust in Christ right here, right now. Don't let this day pass. This is the day that the Lord hath made, yeah? And this is a day of His grace and your opportunity to have eternal life by faith in Him. Have you done that? Have you done that? Don't leave here without trusting in the Lord. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.